Yeah, I just want to leave you all with these quick little tips. One, if you don't have any money coming back into your account because you're not working, so the direct deposit is not coming in, stop all of those direct debits that are happening right now, those automatic bills, those subscriptions, stop those right now until you start getting income coming in. Eliminate those non-essential expenses as much as possible, eating out, cable if at all possible. Netflix is great for me right now. Hulu is really awesome. Even Facebook Watch is really doing pretty good. Call your creditors, your landlord, your utilities companies to make sure or see if they have any type of programs for you. Check your paid time off if you're still working. See if they have a new emergency leave policy because of the coronavirus. And the last thing is monetize your hobby. There's a lot of you that have talent. You're doing it for free. This is the time to figure out how to monetize your hobby and maybe get a side hustle to bring some extra money in during this time as well.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, welcome back here to the Prince of Investing. I'm your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado, via the beautiful state of Honolulu, Hawaii. I want to thank you guys and girls for tuning on with us today. And today we're going to have a very, very special topic. As we know, today, everything's changed. The world, I think, as we know it, has changed with what is going on. In case you've been sleeping under a rock, you notice that we're in a coronavirus. So when we look at finances, of course, that's what we talk about here in the show. But we want to talk about during this coronavirus era, what can we do to better prepare ourselves financially? So with that, I brought a very special guest on with me today. She's coming all the way from the East Coast, from Delaware. She's a financial expert. She's an author, financial speaker. She's somebody I look up to for a long time, been a friend of the show, been on the show a few times. And I really want to bring her on today to talk about preparing yourself during this coronavirus. And also, let's speak about what Ms. Tara Jackson is doing. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome my guest, Ms. Tara Jackson. How are you doing today, Ms. Tara?
I'm great. How are you, Prince?
I'm doing outstanding. So I want to first, I know I kind of gave a little intro there, but I wanted you to kind of give a tell everybody about yourself who may have not seen you yet or heard of you yet.
Awesome. My name is Tara Jackson, aka Madam Money. I am a personal finance expert, as well as a financial contributor for major news outlets, Fox News, as well as Al Jazeera News, also a contributor for Black Enterprise. And people pay me money to talk about money. Isn't that the best life ever, right? I am the author of two books. One is called Financial Fornication, and the most recent one is Four Financial Languages, The Secrets to Learning How to Communicate About Money. So I teach people to learn about their dominant financial language and then how to learn their partner's financial language so they don't argue about money.
Okay. Now that we know that we're here in the coronavirus pandemic that's going around right now, that's pretty much a shutdown of the world. People are looking at their finances. The first thing I want to ask you, how can you prepare your portfolio during a pandemic like this? And how can your portfolio act its age, as you would like to say?
Yeah, it's got to act its age and it's got to act its wage as well. And depending on your age, you need to make some different things. If you're younger and you have more than 10 years to go before you have to use the money for retirement, whether you choose retirement, and nowadays retirement is not an age, retirement is a number. So right now it's affecting that number, which now makes it, we're going to have to work potentially longer unless the market really rebounds in a great way. And hopefully it will. It won't do it immediately, but hopefully it will rebound. But if you have a good 5 to 10 years before, at least 10 years before you have to retire or take that money, you might want to wait it out a little bit. It's going to hurt right now, but markets, when they go down, they come back up. It is a natural progression. What we did not expect is it going down like this dramatically and with a pandemic. I knew that the recession was coming, didn't know that a pandemic was going to bring it, which causes a whole new world of issues. Now, if you need to use that money in less than 10 years or within 5 years, you do want to contact your investment advisor to talk about where to move that money to protect your principal and what you have left. You don't want to run the risk of losing everything you've built up when you need it sooner. So, or you're going to have to work longer or put in more money when you have a chance. A lot of people are finding that they're going to have to dip in their 401ks right now because of financial hardship. The great thing with this new relief fund that was approved by the Senate and will go through Congress is that you will be able to tap into your 401k, your retirement savings, up to $100,000 without penalty. But for those of you that are trying to wait it out before you have to use it, you don't need to use it right now. You're heavy in the market because it's been doing great with great returns. You either need to shift your portfolio into something that's doing well, or you need to put it in something safer so you don't lose your principal.
Nice. Okay. So I want you to hit back on that, because that was something I never spoke about, but that you were saying that due to it's been passed through the Senate and it's about to go through Congress, that you're saying that people can borrow against, because of the stimulus package, people can borrow against their 401k without penalty. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. That's a part of the stimulus package to allow people to leverage or to utilize their 401ks without penalty. You will be taxed on it, but you won't have the penalty. So if you're less than 59 and a half, you need to use it because now you're out of work and you need to leverage those funds so that you can live. That is a part of the package. Now, there are still more details out there as far as the qualifications and how people will get the stimulus money, but at least that is in the stimulus bill.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask you was, you spoke about, like, during this time that you could leverage online banking. How can I leverage online banking?
Great question. Most financial institutions, and if your financial institution doesn't do this, you might want to find another financial institution, but they have home banking, and most now have apps. So we're already on our phones. We're already using app. My thing is, if you're using a Facebook app, you need to be using your financial institution's app, or they at least have home banking where you can access and view your account, what money's in there. You can do transfers. You can set up automatic debits. You can set up direct deposits coming into your account. A lot of financial institutions have what's called remote data capture, which means you can deposit your checks or remote deposit capture, where you can make a picture or snap a picture of the front and back of your check, and that can be a deposit, so you don't even have to go to the financial institution. Financial institutions are open. Most of them are drive-through only, so you can still conduct transactions. However, if you cannot leave the home, if you are self-quarantined or mandatory quarantine and you can't get to the financial institution, but you need to transfer money, you need to pay bills, that online banking is very, very important. Most places where you need to pay a bill, they have a way that you can pay online, because that is the way of the world right now. Or if they haven't had the opportunity, a lot of them are starting to do that. They're seeing the value because they want their money. So your landlord, you may have been able only given them cash or checks. They may be setting up a way where you can Cash App them or do PayPal, but you got to leverage those online sources, and they are secure. Now, is it 100% secure? Nothing's really 100% secure, but they do have things in place, like two authentication security set in place. That just means when you log in, it's going to send you a text with a code, and then you have to put in that code to verify you are the person. So, for example, if you have a cell phone number in your account, somebody hacks into your account and tries to get in with your password, it's going to send you a text that you have to put in there. So you'll be alerted, and then you'll be able to mitigate some of those frauds. So they have different security things that are coming up, thanks to all the hacking that's been done with all the credit reporting agencies. So,
okay, that's pretty good. You know, when you spoke about leveraging online banking as far as using, even though that's kind of one, I don't know, the financial industry is not impacted as much because, you know, so much of using phones and apps and, you know, everything can be done over the phone for the most part, majority of everything are from home. But, you know, that's great information. But how much,
I'm sorry, but I wanted to add to that. You can also apply for loans online. And there's, or you can, you know, not just online banking, but they have phones. You can call and talk to people. Financial institutions are considered essential businesses. So they do have staff that's manning either the phones or inside of the branches or working with the technology. So, and also ask your financial institution if they have a hardship program, if you're not receiving income and your bills are still need to be paid. So if you owe a loan to the financial institution, see if you're able to skip a pay for that month or if they have some type of assistance program for those that are out of work that owes loans.
Okay. Now, another thing I wanted to ask you about as well, right? Coming into these financial times, how much, when you look at emergency funds and savings and cash, what do you have to say about that? It's like, you think people should save more money, less money? Because, you know, there's a lot of people scared. Maybe some people don't know where their next paycheck is coming from or things like that. What would you have to say to that?
Well, your savings should be relative to your household expenses. And, we would love to have at least 6 months of our monthly income in there. That's not realistic for a lot of people. You may want to save enough to be able to cover 2 months worth of rent or to cover food. You want to save as much as you can. If you're still working, this is a time to stop eating out, you know, I won't say stop eating out, but lower that, you know, a tad so that you can start saving more and put money aside because you never know when they'll do a mandatory isolation or quarantine. So nobody can go to work and everyone's there. We're hoping it doesn't come to that. But what if that happens and it's becoming more of a reality and potential reality every single day? So if you are still working, you want to start putting money aside just in case you can't go back to work. If you're telecommuting and you're able to do that, this is the time to start putting money aside. For those that are not working, hopefully they put some money aside to save or to utilize their savings. If, you know, I was at a point where I didn't want to touch my savings, even though I really needed to. I didn't want to touch my savings. I was afraid to. But that's why we save for things like this, for situations like this. So this is an emergency. The savings can also, it can always be rebuilt back up. But this is the time to utilize that and to protect your financial situation and prioritize your bills. What must be paid? What has to be paid? And then everything else, try to contact them. They know what's going on. More than likely, they have a program to assist most consumers during this time.
Okay. Now, another thing that you just spoke about now, as far as like, look, you know, looking at your financial institutions to say, hey, what if you say someone who rents or maybe have a mortgage? Do you think it's a good idea maybe to reach out to your landlord or your mortgage provider or bank or whatever to ask for a possible relief? Is that something that you can do yourself?
Absolutely. They know what's going on. They know that a lot of people are out of work. And in some cases, some businesses are getting support to be able to assist some customers. Financial institutions are doing the skip a pay or, you know, for forgiveness or extension there because at the end of the day, they don't want the losses. They want the money. So it behooves them to work with the customers, even if they have to put those loan payments on the back of the loan. It's an extenuating circumstances. So, you know, I ran a financial institution. If I was a CEO, it would behoove me to have this type of program in place where I would extend it. I may do it month to month and say I'll do extension if they ask me for it. And it, you know, per month based on the situation, what's going on with the world and the United States. But it would behoove me to work with my customers at this time because it's no use of collecting on them when they don't have any money. I know they don't have any money because of something that's beyond their control. So a lot of financial institutions, even landlords, they should be able to work with you Don't say no for them by not asking. So the you ask first and see what they have to offer. And you ask them, hey, I'm not working right now. Do you have any programs to help me through this? Because I do want to pay you, but I just don't have the ability. And most of them will have something in place.
Okay. Now, another topic I want to touch on about when you look at health insurance or health coverage during this time, how is that relevant? Or do you think it's even relevant to this current time?
It is very relevant to this current time. A lot of people don't have insurance. But if you do have insurance, make sure you check your coverages. You need to find out what your copay is. You need to find out what your obligation is. If there's any coinsurance, there are some insurance companies that are waiving the coinsurance right now. So talk to your employer, if you have insurance through your employer, to find out what changes have been made because of the coronavirus, what opportunities there are now. They may, it's maybe some that benefit you, or it could be that they have pulled back on some of the benefits because of the expense they see is coming because of the coronavirus. So you do need to know what your insurance does cover. If you don't have insurance, you definitely need to find out, or, you know, if you go to the hospital, if they can cover you. A lot of hospitals are taking people right now, especially if they are infected with the virus, whether they have insurance or not, because it's the right thing to do to protect humanity. So if you are experiencing symptoms, again, if you're experiencing symptoms, you should call first. I would call the hospital first, call the ER first. We had to do that with one of my sister-in-law. She wasn't feeling well. She appeared to have some symptoms. Instead of going to the ER and being turned away, we called the ER. She talked to a doctor. She explained what the symptoms are, and the doctor was able to say, no, you don't have the symptoms of coronavirus, but you do have this. And they were able to call in a prescription for her. So just call. You're not a doctor, but if you believe that you have symptoms, again, symptoms is the dry coughing, the hard breathing, and the fever, you make sure that you go see someone, whether you have insurance or not. But if you have the Affordable Care Act, you want to look and see what's covered, how much your responsibility is. If you have insurance through your employer, check with your employer to make sure there's no changes. Or most people have insurance with their employer, and they don't even know what they're covered or what's covered. So this is a great time to review that information to make sure it's adequate for you. So when there are some changes or you can renew, you know what you need to renew and change.
Okay. Now, you know, that you spoke on health coverage. When you look at unemployment benefits, I'm not sure what it's called. I know it's like insurances that you can purchase for like maybe like a rainy day, like a, I forgot what was that company? Kind of slipping my mind right now. But it's, I know it's products out there that you can pay a portion of your, pretty much you pay a portion of your paycheck to every month. And it's like an insurance. So if you lost your job, they'll cover you for like 2, 3, or 4, or 6 months. Do you think that it's a good thing to have in your, budget, you would say?
It depends. Those are what's called a safety net expense. And safety net expenses are always good. They're the smaller expenses that we try to dip out of to save some money, but in the long run will cost us more, like those warranties. It's small on the front end, and then we want to not pay the warranty anymore. But then when something breaks down, it costs thousands and thousands of dollars. So like your car warranty, your service contracts, your utilities warranty, your HVAC system, all of those are considered safety net expenses. And that unemployment insurance is a safety net expense. It really depends on if you're in a business that it warrants that. You're the sole provider. If something were to happen, you don't have anything and you won't be able to get unemployment, then, you know, the insurance may be right for you. Now, it's not right for everyone. All insurance is not right for everyone. So you do need to talk to an experienced insurance agent and try to find an insurance agent that is open to educate you, not just sell you on the product. And so that is one of the things that was very important to me when I was an insurance agent, is I wanted to educate my customers first so they can make an intelligent decision and not just sell them products. So if you find someone is just trying to sell you a product, but they're not really explaining it to you, don't nod your head like a deer in headlights. Like, okay, yeah, no, if you don't understand it, then don't do it. Find somebody that can ask you, or if you have any questions, you can always go to my website at madammoney.com for those type of questions. But the unemployment insurance, you know, it can be a good thing for you, especially if you are unemployed, if you're self-employed, that may be an option. Because it's not disability insurance because you're not disabled, but it's unemployment insurance in the event you become unemployed. Now, the great thing right now is that with this new, the stimulus package, is that they are opening up unemployment, benefits to self-employed workers and to people that are temporarily out of work. So if your business has been shut down, or if you're self-employed and it has negatively affected you because it's shut down, you can apply for those benefits. I think the United States actually broke the internet because they had 3.2 million people try to put in their benefits at one time. So, take advantage of the benefits that are being offered. Now, how quickly are they going to be able to do it? The government is really good at offering and proposing and promising, but sometimes they're not as great as fulfilling and executing. So we're going to have to be patient. We know they're trying to do the right thing relatively right now with the stimulus package that was unanimously voted for by the Senate. But, you know, they say 3 weeks, but we'll see.
Okay. Now, you just brought up a good thing about entrepreneurship and things like that. How does an independent entrepreneurship, let's say if you're a hairstylist or a barber or something like that, and, you know, of course, your business, or maybe you owned a club or a bar or an entertainment spot or whatever, a lounge, and that now that business has just pretty much, it's probably shut down, at least for the next 30 days, what can a person do, an entrepreneur do, to kind of protect themselves from these windfalls?
Well, hopefully they have reserves. Businesses should have reserves. And on average, self-employed businesses only have a 30 to 45 day reserve. And that's scary if we're talking about a 60 to 90 day quarantine and shutdown. But the one thing that I can say is you're going to have to pivot. You're going to have to shift what you're doing, because right now, if you're a people business, you can't touch people. Now you're going to have to find a way to make money digitally or via social media, online. So you might have to try new things, and it may be completely different than the scope of what you've been doing. But that's what the great thing of what's happening with this. It's having us to think about business differently. And in some cases, you might find it to be more profitable. I've even had to pivot my business. As an entrepreneur, I am a speaker. I get paid to speak. But I had three of my engagements that were canceled that totaled over $10,000. That's $10,000 that's not coming into my income stream that I had projected as income. And so that hurts. But I had to pivot and started doing things virtually. So now I do virtual sessions. I do virtual interviews. A lot of people are having virtual events, so they're paying me to do virtual events as well. And I have a lot of friends that are hairstylists, bartenders, club owners as well. My hairstylist, one of my clients who's a hairstylist, I told her she can start doing workshops to teach people how to do their own hair. They come in for her to do their own hair, but until they can get back to her, she can teach them online of some maintenance things, of what to do, what not to do, just to get them through until they can come see her. So that's working out very well for her. She does some free things online. She builds up her audience, and then she offers discounts for future services when the quarantine is lifted.
Oh, nice. Nice little pivot move there, you know, especially in the cosmetology world. But before we wrap this up, I wanted to ask people, you know, you said that you were an author. You mentioned MadamMoney.com, where people get a lot of great personal financial advice. I know some people, a lot of people tune in and they're looking for the next investment and how should they move and things like that. But it's one of those things that you got to take care of your personal self first before you can even start into investing. So Where can people find you? Where can people look you up and all the good? And tell them about the great, your last book, The Four Money Languages and things like that.
You can always find me at madammoney.com, MadamMoney.com. You can also connect with me on all my social media. The links are in the website, but just follow Ms. Madam Money, MadamMoney, Ms. Madam Money on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm Tara Jackson, TARRA Jackson. The Four Financial Languages is available on Amazon.com, bestseller, and it's also available on MadamMoney.com. The Four Financial Languages is similar to the five love languages. People love differently. My argument is that people speak and communicate about money differently. That's why savers and spenders argue about money. So the Four Financial Languages are saving, spending, investing, and giving. I teach you how to identify your dominant financial language, how to communicate in your financial language, talk about some triggers and some things not to do. But I also teach you how to communicate in other financial languages so that you understand their triggers, things to say and what not to say, and how to best communicate with the different financial languages. That's why the saver and the spender will argue. Now the saver and spender can have a mutually great cash conversation instead of a money misunderstanding or dollar disagreement. So definitely go check out the book, Four Financial Languages, The Secrets to Communicating About Money, on Amazon or at madammoney.com.
Now I got a rapid fire question for you. I'm an investor too. My wife, she's more like a saver. How can we better communicate about money?
Okay, that's great, because a saver is not an investor. A saver needs safety, security, and control. And if their savings account goes below a certain threshold, they'll freak out, right? So they're afraid of losing money. An investor understands that the reward is relative to the risk. They're not that scared of losing money because they know they can get it back. So you're going to have to communicate with the saver to let them know we're not going to invest all of the money, just a small portion, so that we can get a better return on our investment and we can save more. So you have to talk to them in their language. They like budgets. They like saving. They like security. They like, you know, to shop around for the best deal to stay on budget. And so when an investor wants to invest their money, you have to assure them we're not going to invest all of it. It's just a small portion. And then we're doing this so we can get a better return, so we have more money to put aside and save.
Got it. All right. And Sara Jackson, we get out of here. Is there anything you want to leave the listeners and the viewers that are catching this live and the people that catch the playback? Is there anything you want to leave with them?
Yeah, I just want to leave you all with these quick little tips. One, if you don't have any money coming back into your account because you're not working, so the direct deposit is not coming in, stop all of those direct debits that are happening right now, those automatic bills, those subscriptions. Stop those right now until you start getting income coming in. Eliminate those non-essential expenses as much as possible, eating out, cable if at all possible. Netflix is great for me right now. Hulu is really awesome. Even Facebook Watch is really doing pretty good. Call your creditors, your landlord, your utilities companies to make sure, or see if they have any type of programs for you. Check your paid time off if you're still working. See if they have a new emergency leave policy because of the coronavirus. And the last thing is monetize your hobby. There's a lot of you that have talent. You're doing it for free. This is the time to figure out how to monetize your hobby and maybe get a side hustle to bring some extra money in during this time as well.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ms. Tara Madam Money Jackson. And my name is Prince Dykes. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or show, peace, be safe, I'm out, and thank you.